I love talking cars.
Ah, you are, well, then you are just going to be in heaven. Tom Appel is here, automotive expert, writer for Consumer Guide Automotive, where he's the publisher, actually. And at some point during this interview, I bet he uses the word prenindle. I bet he does. I bet he does. You just threw that word out to us.
I did.
And it's a car part, the prenindle.
The prenindle.
Right. Most people would know it from Green Acres.
Right. That's why I know it.
Yeah.
If it's been used since or before, I don't know that.
All right. What the hell is it? I heard you say it and you guys giggled a lot. And yeah. What is it?
All right. It's Oliver, right? It was Oliver Douglas.
Oliver Douglas, yeah.
On Green Acres, Oliver was teaching Lisa to drive. Mm-hmm. And the prenindle, the PRNDL, right above the automatic shifter, she called it the prenindle. So she was pronouncing.
Yep.
Yeah. It's fabulous.
Park, reverse, drive, neutral.
Yeah. So that's a reference for
what's
the kids.
What's L? Oh, low gear.
Low gear.
I'm looking up prenindle. I could not find it.
That's
I didn't
what it
get
is.
It. You guys are that's terrible. Right.
So which car at the car show at McCormick Place has the best prenindle this year, would you say?
Wow.
That's a tough one.
The Ram 1500 pickup has a round prenindle now.
Does it really?
Yeah, it's rotary.
We've come a long way.
That yeah, we have.
Is an unusual way. I know in the old days you used to grab it behind yeah. the steering column. Then it moved to down low.
Mm-hmm.
This is now like you're turning on a burner on a stove. Do you get used to that?
Really fast.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't like it either.
You wouldn't like it because why? Because it takes away part of the thrill of driving? Is that why?
I think because I'm a cranky old guy who's used to... That's just used to things.
Right, maybe that has something to do with it.
But I got used to it pretty quickly.
Yeah. All right, so the big show at McCormick Place
huge.
Starts officially tomorrow, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
But you've already been in on previews.
Yeah. 2 days of fun already.
Yeah. What wowed you? What did you see that you just couldn't believe you saw?
Wow. There's a lot of big news at the show this year, more, I think, than in recent years. But one of my favorite things, and it's got nothing to do with being especially new, was a color.
A new color
for cars.
Yeah, Nissan just launched an off-roady version of its popular Pathfinder called the Rock Creek, and the color is Midnight Pine. It's killing me. I love it.
So a darkish green?
Yeah.
But and really
I'd like to see that back. Dark green's had its moments, and it looks like it's having another moment.
Why would that color have gone away? What I mean, I know there's trends and things become popular and less popular, but dark green, you would say there's always going to be a market for that.
You would think so, and I don't know. The automotive, I've had someone in design tell me that automotive color trends tend to trail fashion by about 5 years, and then the cycle takes a really long time because to get an automotive color in place.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things you have to coordinate because parts are built at different places, and it takes a while to set all that up. So if a designer wants to do a color on a car right now,
yeah.
it might be 2, 3, 4 years before
really?
It actually hits. Yeah.
We had that taxi cab yellow, an AMC, not a Pacer. We had
Gremlin.
No, the mid-rib, the Hornet.
Oh,
we had the
yeah.
Hornet with the wood paneling.
Oh, that's
it was very
nice
popular.
Car.
But that yellow was very popular in the '70s. It went away, and I'm seeing it a lot again.
Yeah, you had the yellow. You had the ochre. The lime green.
No,
AMC did all those crazy colors.
I liked the lime green, but this was like taxi cab yellow with the wood grained.
Yeah.
Contact paper.
Oh. So when a company brings back a color like this green, this darkish green, do other companies watch it and say, let's see if it's a hit, and then we'll do the same?
Yeah,
or how
they really do.
They do, don't they?
Yeah, if you remember the early 90s when Ford was selling about 1 billion Explorers monthly, they were the first to do like dark green at the time, and then everyone did it.
Mm. A Ford like LTD, that's what I remember being that dark green.
Ford LTD?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why I remember that. It's just, like, really dark.
I always think of LTDs as dark red or white or black because they're usually cop cars.
Oh, yeah.
But they were usually cop cars, yeah.
Well, this was a civilian who owned it.
Okay.
One of the cars my parents had, the color was called Candy Apple Red, and I remember because the salesperson kept stressing it over and over and over. He just loved saying Candy Apple Red.
Yeah, that was a hot rod color.
Yeah.
Yeah,
right.
And I think that any manufacturer doing hot candy apple red is doing something near real candy apple red. The actual hot rod color usually takes a lot of work.
Oh, I would think.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
What's your favorite color in a car? I just want to ask you, too.
Me?
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of Jaguar's dark green. And if you go back to, like, the 80s, a Jaguar XJ6 dark green, it's a perfect thing.
Bill?
More often than not, silver, but it depends on the car. Some cars don't lend themselves to silver, but there are certain cars that just look so good in silver, like a silver metallic.
I do not like a blue car.
No?
I like earth tones. I like taupe. or like a graphite color, and that after having a completely white car and a complete black car, those are the worst to keep clean.
Oh, blue is getting kind of hip now, but it's that bright blue.
I don't know.
Like a sky blue almost?
Yeah, kind of a sky blue. Subaru's doing it. Toyota's doing it. It's on the Toyota Tacoma right now.
Yeah.
It looks great on that truck.
Yeah. So you've seen this, right? There are certain vehicles that just look right on certain colors.
Yeah.
Which reminds me, I always want to ask you this question, and now it just popped up. I've noticed in commercial advertising, more times than not now, when a company is selling cars, they have all the cars in their commercial one color. They're all black, they're all white, they're all red. It used to be they would show you a variety of colors, but now they're very uniform. What happened there? Why did that change?
That's an interesting point. And one of the things that happens when you see a new car is like when the media sees it.
Yeah.
There's a launch color.
Yeah.
And they really stick to that color.
Yeah.
I remember, for example, the Mitsubishi Eclipse. This is maybe 15 years ago, 12 years ago, when they relaunched that vehicle. It came out in this bronze, kind of a golden bronze color.
I remember
color.
That.
Good-looking color. Looked great on that car.
Yeah.
The only press photography, the only test cars we ever got were that color. It was really a controlled launch, and I'm not entirely sure
that's strange.
Why they wanted to do that with that much control. But
that's so strange.
Do you think there's any way it's all one color just so you can really eyeball the difference?
Between the different models,
yeah, because that's what I can tell in a commercial or a print ad or online. If they're all white or something or all black, you can tell the difference, how it looks a little bit. If they're all different colors, you get a different view of it.
True, and you might also get a sense that there's more different versions of the vehicle than they are.
Oh, yeah.
Confusing matters, maybe.
So true. Tom Appel is here. We'll talk about the auto show. It's at McCormick Place starting tomorrow night. We'll tell you about all the things he saw and you will see by going there. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. Tom Appel is here, automotive expert and publisher of Consumer Guide Automotive. He's on Twitter, Car Guy Tom. But there's
Car Guy Tom.
But there's some things in there. There's some underscores.
Yeah.
Car underscore guy underscore Tom. That's how you can find him on Twitter. All right, so you were wowed by a new color at the automotive show, but what about from an innovation standpoint? What's going on with cars now that they didn't used to do?
Here's an interesting thing. Plug-in hybrids are sort of sneaking into people's lineups. And one of the most interesting, the new Lincoln Aviator, which is coming out soon. This is going to be a Lincoln version of the Ford Explorer. Really good looking.
Mm-hmm.
They're doing a plug-in hybrid version, and they're not calling it plug-in or hybrid. It's simply Grand Touring. So they've kind of removed the stigma, if there is one, to the green technology.
Yeah.
Also, it's going to be geared more towards a performance hybrid, so it's going to do more to enhance performance than improve fuel economy, but it'll still help.
Because it's a Lincoln, could Matthew McConaughey take this car to a friend's house and shoot some pool with them spying on him from the next room?
I believe he could, and then take notes in a little notebook.
Yes.
Nice drawings.
That would be excellent.
All right, you mentioned that. A cool new thing for that brand. Is Matthew McConaughey really helping?
Idea.
I mean, honestly, Bill, would you
confuses
buy...
Confuses me every
I
time I watch
it.
I thought he signed up for more, so it must be working.
Yeah. All right. What do we know? What do we know? Give us some trends. What are you seeing a lot of companies doing?
An interesting trend, and I think this lends itself to something Wendy just said during the commercial break, is to make crossovers look a little bit more trucky.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. You mentioned all the chrome on the front of the Highlander, for example. But another thing that's happening, like Toyota just launched a new RAV4.
Yeah.
And that looks a little bit more off-roady and manly. Plus, they've just added a TRD Pro, which is an off-road thing that Toyota does.
Mm-hmm.
There's never been an off-road version of the RAV4 before, so that's interesting. Honda just added the Passport to its lineup, which is a car that now slots between the CR-V compact and the Pilot, which is their midsize car. They have the Passport in the middle, and they've decided to market that as an off-roadish vehicle. So it's got a little bit less overhang on the front and back for rock climbing, a little bit elevated ride height. It's an interesting strategy.
Is every company looking towards some sort of an electric version of their cars?
Yes.
Every one of them?
Yeah, everyone's going to have to do it. It's going to be a really weird hurry up and wait period.
Yeah.
You don't want to be left out. You want stockholders to think you're ready for this, but I'm not sure the public is quite ready.
Tesla's prices keep dropping a little bit, though, right?
They just announced a price cut on the Model 3, which is the...
Just the Model 3?
Everything came down, I think, $3,000.
Oh.
This was a reaction to the fact that they've lost their tax credit.
Yeah.
So the tax credit went down to $3,750, so this pretty much covers the difference
for
now.
Yeah.
They've lowered the price on the Model 3 a little bit.
Yeah.
So we'll see where that goes.
All right, here's an innovation that impresses me, but I don't know if it affects anybody else. I've seen a couple cars now do a thing where the mood lighting inside the car can be adjusted.
Yeah.
You can pick between 5 or 6 different colors so that you're not only your dashboard, but all the side lights and everything all become either blue or violet or white. What's that all about? I like it.
Yeah, ambient lighting is a really interesting part of a lot of luxury vehicles.
Really? You like it?
Yeah.
What, are you cool. having a disco in your car?
Denny, Terry, and I, we drive to work together every day, and I let him pick the color. It's fun.
That is a Pernindle old reference.
Wendy, Google Denny Terrio quick.
Shut up. All I know who he is.
Consumer Guide recently had a BMW 7 Series through the office that had extremely variable mood lighting.
Really?
They don't call it mood lighting. They call it ambient lighting.
Ambient lighting. That's
yeah, and at night, it's really interesting. And I think the blue is probably the most effective.
Yeah.
So it's hidden. It's recessed lighting.
Yeah.
It just casts a very light color on the whole car. And our guy Damon played around with it for a little while. We have an article up if people want to check out the light.
I would imagine it would feel, especially at night, like you're in a totally different car. Just all you're really getting is a different colored light throughout, but that's all it would take.
Yeah.
You know?
It's strangely satisfying, and I can't say why.
I don't know why either. But I saw it, and I go, I want that. But I'm not even in the market for a car. Wendy is in the market for a
car. I am, and I really should check out the auto show, because really, where else can you go look around at a bunch of different things? I've test-driven a couple of cars. I'm noticing that the cockpit is much like a cockpit now. I feel claustrophobic in some of these new cars that I've been driving. It's too cramped.
That is a big battle for designers and engineers, because they want you to feel comfortable and protected, but they also want to keep the space there. So it depends on the car, how low you sit relative to the console in the center of the car,
yeah.
How low you are relative to the glass line on the outside.
And yeah, a lot of these cars, like the back window, we had a rental car somewhere, I don't remember what it was, but the kids were sitting in the back, and they could barely see out the window.
Yeah,
it's like deep.
It's getting harder. The glass area on a car has gone up, and as part of this is because we're all driving crossovers now. But back in the old day, you could kick back and put your arm out the window. You can't
right.
do that anymore. The window's too high.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And they also have to keep safety and concern mm-hmm. as part of all that redesign, don't they?
And part of that happened when side impact laws went into effect, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This is a question not about the car show, but about the weather we've been having, especially last week when it was so cold.
Yeah.
Not that long ago, 2/3 of our cars wouldn't start under those conditions, but almost everybody I know, I only know one person who couldn't start their car in the morning last week on the coldest of days. What are they doing differently that all of a sudden the engines are more dependable?
That's a good question.
That
I think
is.
Maybe the batteries just got better.
Is that what it
the
is?
The other thing is everything's fuel injected these days. So 10, 15 years ago, if it got really cold, there's still a couple
you
of carbureted cars out there.
Yeah,
and you were hosed.
Yeah.
But not so much now.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking our old Toyota, our 2007 Corolla, we had just gotten a new battery maybe a couple months ago, so I'm sure that had something to do with why it started.
Oh, yeah.
That was the one I was worried about not starting.
Although, now here's a twist to that. In the older days, you put your key in and you turned it in the ignition, and now a lot of us, I'm lucky enough, I've got that push button start. Does that change the game at all?
It changes it so much. Yeah. I don't know how much it helps it actually start, but we no longer pump a gas pedal.
Right.
And we no longer crank the key.
Right.
You press the button, you just wait for it to start. So the car's probably doing a little bit better job of timing that stuff than we would have.
Yeah. I had an issue with my tires on the coldest day when it was 40 degrees below. I got in the car and there was an immediate message on my board saying that all four of my tires were underinflated. You're supposed to be at 36.
It right? depends on the car, but that's about right, right. Yeah.
I was at 27 and 28, so I had to fill it really quickly. But then listeners to the show said, no, the car will take care of itself. Don't put air in. You'll have to get the air out later. What do you think?
Yeah, that's a really tough call, and from a safety position, it's hard to really say what to do, but I wager half the people in Chicago saw that light.
Yeah, I bet.
That Thursday morning. And the deal is that, yeah, your inflation, the tire inflation has been reduced, the pressure reduced with the cold.
Yeah.
But it's going to come back up when it warms
up. It fixes itself somehow.
Sort of, yeah. Now, you are driving around in slightly underinflated tires, but presumably in that weather with the snow and everything, we were all probably driving pretty safely anyway.
I was the only one on the road anyway that day.
There you go.
There was nobody near me. Yeah. So it's a car-by-car basis as to whether or not you should refill it because your board tells you to.
And my light didn't come on that
Yours
morning.
Didn't? No?
Surprisingly.
My test car did. My wife's did. A couple guys at the office.
Yeah.
Maybe we have too much air in our tires right now. And also with that push button start, it just happened to me yesterday. I was running to do a quick thing into Walgreens, and I was clicking my lock button and noticed I didn't hear a noise, and I left the stupid car on. I forget to turn it off sometimes.
Yeah, I did that once.
Oh.
Left a Corvette on all day. Not running.
And unlocked.
But the ignition was on.
Oh, no, this was running and on, and I almost went into the store. I just noticed that, wow, it's not making that little click noise. It won't lock if it's running, which I find surprising. Shouldn't it still lock?
The really interesting thing about that, and I think generally it works pretty well with the keyless entry thing and the push button start, but you can run into a thing with some cars where you'll turn the car off, but the center console light or the infotainment screen stays on.
Mm-hmm. For about a minute.
It stays on after you lock the car for another 30 seconds.
Yeah.
So if you're not thinking about it or you just think you're forgetful, you'll sit there and you can't leave because you're not sure if you turn off your car.
That's a mess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
What can I do to help myself remember to turn the car off? I'm not kidding.
Post-it notes? I don't know.
Because it is a complete change since you don't even really need your key. You can your key in your pocket.
Put a post-it note on your forehead.
On my forehead?
Yeah. People will be asking you, what does that say on your forehead? I turned my car off. Oh, that's what I forgot to do.
All right, I'll do that.
Great to see you. Overall, you what's your review of the car show? People should go.
The show was great. Real quick. 1,000 cars, 1,000,000 square feet. Open on President's Day as well.
So, wow.
Yeah, if the kids are available. Also, if you download the app, they're cutting you a deal on one of the tickets.
Yeah. So, oh, very nice.
Yeah.
That's Tom Appel.
He is the Consumer Guide Automotive Publisher. He's an automotive expert. And like we said, you can see him on Twitter, car_guy_Tom. That's easy to do.
Thank you, Tom.
Read his article on pepperendals.
No, what's it called?
Pernindle.
Pernindle.
Yeah.
You guys suck.
Yeah, we do.
That's all I got to tell you.
All right, more after this.
And coming up, the stories that matter with Eric Rung. He is in our Northwestern Medicine Newsroom.